What kind of experience are we cultivating, activating, and creating one-on-one with those individual executives that we're supporting? All of that plays into culture.
How do companies create a culture and core values that employees actually live out? The team at The Receptionist, a Denver-based software company, sets out to answer that very question. Welcome to The Fabric. Here's your host, Michael Ashford.
In this episode, I chat with Helani Ellis, the founder of Exceptional Admins. Exceptional Admins is one of the top resources for people in administrative and executive assistant roles looking to advance their careers and influence. And Helani and I discuss the evolution of the administrative role, which has been weighed down for too long by outdated stereotypes and a lack of understanding of its strategic value and how it can drive a business forward. Helani shares her desire to see more admins own their personal brands, and she gives some advice on how to make this happen. One of my favorite tips is for administrative and executive assistants to become great at asking questions. You'll have to listen for the rest. If you're interested in learning more about what we do and how company culture drives us, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thereceptionistapp. We're currently releasing new episodes of The Fabric once a month, along with lots of other great content. And now, here's my interview with Helani Ellis. I was going back through some episodes of your show, Helani, and one of the things that I noticed is there's a lot of talk about personal branding and building a personal brand in the admin assistant or the executive assistant world. And I'm just curious, is that a change or a shift that we've seen recently of a stereotypical role or a role very defined by a lot of stereotypes? And that shift to one where we're talking about personal brand. Can you walk me through that?
Absolutely. And I'm so excited that that came through in whichever episodes you listened to. Personal branding specific to the executive administrative career is no two admins are the same. And so how do we create that unique experience with each individual admin? And it starts with you. I've been doing a lot of research lately on, you know, an old saying called there's no I in team. However, I do want to point out the I is you, and it starts with you, the individual. And so if we want to create a disruption around what I think you were getting at is the bias of the stereotypical sort of old understanding, and even old, by the way, of 7 years, you know, as we record this to date in 2024, you know, there's been a wonderful evolution. And I'm really big on personal branding so that you can identify your unique value proposition. And I can be known for saying that I believe everyone is a business of one. And what do I mean by that? When you're a business of one, like I run Exceptional Admins, a boutique firm, and I have a value proposition to explain to clients and admin audience members, you know, what am I offering you? And I'm not a recruiting firm. I like to go by a specialized headhunter. And so I have to create this individual business brand, but then also who am I as Helani today, which is a retired executive assistant. So the bias, I do believe that a lot of the corporate world is trailing behind those serving in the profession today. And so I believe it starts with the individual to really create that current day and future perception of executive administration, which includes administrative assistants, receptionists, office managers, those that are providing a different level of value. And what is your unique value proposition? And I believe it starts with the individual. And so therefore, personal branding is really important.
From your experience, you said retired executive assistant, and now you kind of went into a little bit of detail of what you're doing now. But with everything that falls under those umbrellas of those titles that you just rattled off there, Helani, are there defining characteristics of what a executive assistant or somebody in that assistant world needs to be thinking about when it comes to their brand? Things that they need to, how they need to show up, how they present themselves in meeting. Episode 72 was one of the conversations I listened to, or one of the episodes I listened to, where you're talking about having a seat at the table and not asking for it. I'm curious what you mean by that. And Yeah, my broader question though, Helani, is what are those things that executive assistants and folks in the administrative assistant world should be thinking about? And under the context of what you just said, no role is the same. Mm-hmm. What's that look like?
Yeah, isn't that true? And so if we were to sort of start at a high level, that personal branding, and you ask a really beautiful question, I actually have an online course for building your personal brand specific to the administrative profession. I'll plug it right here. It's available on our website. Yeah. I talk about the three S's, and there's actually a fourth S. And so it's strengths, style, storytelling, and then sharing. And so just really quickly here, right under personal branding, which I love, which is one of those top three characteristics, is having a center of influence. And we struggle influencing if we're not set in our own foundation of excellence on, you know, who am I? What's my top strength? Right? What's my style? Which, by the way, style doesn't mean your clothes, your makeup, your hair. Style is having, and here's a great story, and I mentioned this in the course. There was a professional I worked with, and I could hear her coming down the hall because she always wore heels, and her walk had a certain cadence to it. And it exuded, yes, a style, but then that also carried through in the way she delivered information. For those that love the story, you know, The Devil Wears Prada, the movie, there was style to Andy at the beginning. And then there was a completely transformative evolution style towards the end of the movie. And so it's that. And then storytelling, right? If we say as an administrative individual, I'm super great at calendar management, we do sound like the history of this profession. If you change your delivery in storytelling, in any given week, I can be responsible for up to 35 meetings for three different executives that I support. And I'm responsible for making sure that the information is available to them, that they know where they're supposed to be, and they're prepared. That's the storytelling. And then the sharing part is how do you convey that? And so when you think of personal branding, and then you go to the next part, that center of influence, if you've got those four things from your personal brand dialed in, you will earn agency, as I like to put it, with those on the team. And you mentioned kind of the seat at the table. I believe there's a bit of a disruption with not wanting a seat at the table because, by the way, you're in a lot of meetings then, not back at your desk, getting a lot of really strategic work done. So that creates friction with your workflow and work-life harmony. But the second part is I was given the gift to have one-on-one influence with my leader. Mm. And I think there's something more magnificent in that one-on-one influence over influence at a large table where multiple people are there. Is it time to talk? Am I going to say the right thing? And so from a center of influence being one layer below that personal brand with those four S's, strength, style, storytelling, and sharing, you have that great center of influence to be more impactful as well as disruptive to the way people perceive administrative individuals today and in the future.
Love that. Let's introduce the audience listening to a little bit more about you, Helani. What were your strengths, your style, your stories that you told and the storytelling? And what was the fourth? I'm sorry, I missed it.
Yep. Sharing. How you
feel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you just... Mm-hmm. What was Helani like in that role?
I love that. Yeah, I've never been asked that question before, so my wheels are spinning. So I would say from a strength standpoint, intrinsically motivated. And so I really pulled into my own self to motivate my efforts, not seeking motivation from the outside. I was often also labeled as someone who was a creative problem solver. So I liked to dive into my divergent thinking capabilities. So from a strengths perspective, and I'll give the opposite, I do not have a strength. And I said this on several episodes of the podcast, and those that know me and my body of work with Exceptional Admins, expense reports is not one of my strengths. It'll be at the very bottom of the list of my suite of strengths. And so for those top two, I really like them. Hospitable would be a third. Mm. And so let's explain from the style part of hospitality. Here's a fun story.
Yeah.
When I was working in my last administrative role, I was in it for 4 years, and I was pretty much everything under the sun, from, you know, the office barista, the hostess when my executive would be tardy. And one of the things I really liked in the category of hospitality was that when we hosted investors, I would definitely do the errand to get the Panera, to bring it back. I would not serve it in the box from Panera. I would have chilled china in the freezer, in the kitchen, pull those out, carefully assemble the salad and deliver it for that meeting. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget the look on one's guest's face. And he said, did she chill this plate? And my executive felt really good. He's like, she did. We have a high level of five-star hospitality here. And so from the strengths and then what would be my style would be doing something completely unexpected to create a unique experience with us. Cause then of course it made him look good.
Sure.
And then from the storytelling component, you know, being able to share that story now that if I was in an interview, I would be able to convey like those parts of who I am and that center of influence, creating an experience, which is a big part of personal branding is how do people experience you? There are some negativities inside the administrative profession, the overly gatekeeping, the micromanaging executive assistant to lowers. And so you really want to connect with what do I want to be known for? And so that last one, the sharing component, I'm sharing it here with you, you know, and I believe from a sharing component, it goes beyond what I verbally would say. It's sharing with everyone around you. Employees saw me doing that. Then that built the personal brand, which is opposite of a reputation. A reputation is to be defended. A personal brand is truly how you feel in your skin and how you want to convey that, which also fully calls to, I'm 45 now, I have no problem admitting how old I am. You come to a place where you are really comfortable with who you are and what you offer, and others who have an opinion that's opposite of your true core self, it doesn't rattle you. And so that's a part of personal branding and the journey as well. It is not an overnight journey. It is a constantly going, always in draft mode. And so to kind of answer your question, for me as a personal brand, when I was an administrative individual, those would be the things I would highlight.
That's beautiful. I love that. Love that synopsis of Helani in that world.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't get to talk about that often. So I love the question.
You mentioned a couple of answers ago, talking about the difference in the influence of being in that boardroom and all those meetings and the one-on-one influence that you could have with an executive perhaps that you support. And I'm curious there, Helani, how does everything that you just kind of outlined and explained there with those four S's, what can someone looking into how they can influence a company in that administrative role, what do they need to be thinking about in those two divergences? What are perhaps some pros and cons of, do I want the influence of the one-on-one or do I want the influence in terms of the seat at the table? Where do you fall on that kind of divergence?
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to give a bifurcated recommendation.
Sure.
And it goes with sort of your hybrid question. I believe that we can, and I still sometimes catch myself saying we as if I'm still in the profession. I'm very immersed into the fabric of the profession I'm not serving. And the thousands of calls I've had in the last 7.5 years, I do really enjoy still being in the game in a different capacity. Yeah. And your question is really beautiful because there's often this internal struggle with administrative individuals, you know, especially tied to the topic of our conversation, personal branding, like what's the right fit? And I want for my very high achieving admins, you don't have to set that in stone as your first step. Allow the journey to unfold in front of you. And so my bifurcated recommendation is a blend of some seat at the table, because the power in listening to conversations and acronyms and challenges and obstacles along with, you know, celebration of something getting resolved in a meeting, you kind of can't have that time back. And so being there is great. But on the other side, one of the things that I'm often doing when I'm training or in group sessions with admins, the power of a question. The quality of your questions will really dictate the way that someone is going to, quote, think about your brand. One of a really great admin that I know, she has a powerful question she asks her leader after every meeting. He gives the rundown, he breaks out what they're doing, and she goes, well, what's next after this? And such a simple question, which I just heard the other day, it doesn't have to be different to make a difference. Mm.
Yeah.
And the question to just say what's next, yeah, maybe someone would view it as like a C+ category question. But wait till you hear what they say, especially for a leader who might already be thinking to the future and you want to totally keep pace with their thought because they just got out of that meeting. So I think having just a really great handful of questions, because if we read any leadership book or an HBR article, they're going to talk about the listening leader actually has more influence because it creates that dialogue amongst teams or one-on-one than the leader who loves to hear their voice and talk all the time, which I realize I'm a guest here and I'm doing a lot of talking, but answering your questions, that would be my recommendation. Play around with going to meetings. I don't know the podcast number episode. It is with an amazing woman who is a chief of staff, huge business leader, worked for very well big names. She mentioned getting a seat at the table in those budget meetings.
Yeah.
Really getting dialed in on that financial element. And there's also a significant amount of listening. I definitely would not speak up, although in my own business I would not speak up in those financial meetings. And using that as a place to have that dotted or solid line to other parts of what your leader is doing. And then on the reverse, creating that hybrid point for yourself, why not have some really great questions, much like the one I just mentioned with, well, what's next? You had the meeting, the information came out. Well, what's next? There's a way to do both and to enjoy, obviously, the break of not being in every meeting and then also creating that influence because your questions help create that dialogue, which then when you become a huge library of knowledge, siphoning from your leader's brain into yours, the influence grows.
Wonderful. And as a former journalist, I love asking questions and getting out of people's way.
Yes.
So
yeah.
You're doing a great job, by the way.
Awesome. Thank you.
So why are we talking about this? What are the shifts that we're seeing in the administrative role world? All those mm-hmm. titles that you talked about, all the different ways that an administrative person in that role can influence and be a part of the culture and the decision-making process of a company. What shifts have you seen, Helani, recently? We'll say, gosh, we'll be inclusive of the year that shall not be named.
Yes, thank you. I don't want to say it myself either. Yeah.
And just last five years, what shifts are you seeing where we're having this conversation more?
Yeah. I'm going to go to 2017. It's when I launched Exceptional Admins. And I had a few soft launch searches prior to really going full-time with the firm. But in 2017, when I launched here in the Denver market, I am now nationwide, which is such an amazing gift of that year we're not mentioning. And, you know, I was getting salary conversations with leaders. And I was so excited to get 75, maybe even 80,000. And it was because I know that people were getting paid less. And each year, you know, naturally, kind of supposed to be in line with inflation, you know, you get that increase. You know, there's also the differentiation of, you know, the EA to the CEO at Facebook to Mr. Musk down in Austin and what that looks like.
Right.
And so why we're talking and why I'm so passionate specifically on branding and that center of influence is there is an appetite for higher service from the executive world. And I can also say that due to the fact that the salaries I'm getting essentially is a correction from where we should have been paying salaries in 2017. Most of my searches are 85 to 150,000, which in the Denver market is just like magnificent. We were hearing those in Silicon Valley, definitely in New York, major markets like LA, Miami, and Chicago. And so, you know, it always starts on the coasts and sort of makes its way to the center of the nation. They want a strategic and a tactical performing individual next to them. Mm. And so the tactical, a lot of people think secretary three, four decades ago. And so if we want to get to a place of really magnifying the impact of admins today, and as I mentioned at the top, it starts with you. You are that eye of the individual in the team who has eye influence. And so if we want to be able to continue fulfilling the mission of this profession alongside very dynamic leaders, we do have to stand out. And I did do a state of the job market October of 2023, and it's still relevant today, several months later, on where this profession is going. There is a 10% decline. Mm-hmm. And that 10% decline means that some people will take even longer to get employment and or choose to do a career shift, which, by the way, quick plug, project management is a great course correction for some of those that want to maybe exit administration. And so I support that. A lot of people are like, Helani, isn't it chief of staff? And those jobs are even fewer than administrative jobs. So I believe that in the world of administration and the longevity of this career to many, it is elevating the way that you carry yourself, you present yourself, and actually execute the work.
On that theme of company executives expecting what, how you called it a, and phrased it, a higher level of service from someone in fulfilling this role, this is a podcast and a show all about company culture. And I'm curious from your vantage point and what you're seeing out there, Hilani, how does that expectation of a higher level of service flow into how an executive assistant, how an administrative assistant or a chief of staff can influence and affect company culture? How are you seeing that out there?
Great question. And I'll think about it a little bit with the personal branding of those four S's: strength, yeah, styles, storytelling, and sharing. If we were to think about the experience in the show Mad Men, I haven't actually really watched the seasons. I've seen a couple clips, like maybe
same,
on Instagram.
Same.
So we think about that service of an administrative individual, right? Some core responsibilities, very tactical. And this is to your question on culture. And if we think about, you know, and the era is very different, right? They didn't have visibility into things. And so we evolved as the world of corporate has evolved. In the world of administration, if you're a hybrid professional providing that tactical execution of like the things, all the things, but then you also have a pulse on, is your executive's energy correct today? I would get asked often when my executive would be traveling and come back, we called it a re-entry day. You know, I'd have people coming to my desk and going, what's he like today? I'm like, today's not a great day. We've got actually too much to do. I can book time with you tomorrow. And they would get that pulse on the executive. And he's very approachable, amazing man. Sure. But you know, some days, and my admins are nodding, they're like, oh, I know what she's talking about. There's some days where, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. And that pulse that the individual as a strategic admin can have also helps when you're going to go talk to your leader and say, hey, you know, Steve just found out some really bad news about a family member. And so I want to know, do you want to take him to lunch? To your point about culture. And there's also some negatives in this profession of those that make themselves a nosy person, right? Versus a healthy culture individual elevating and wanting to be careful to strike the right balance. Mm-hmm. Culture perspective, if we thought about the history of this profession in the more secretarial tactical to the beautiful evolution of really being strategic, alongside strategic is having that pulse, that center of influence, right? The permission slips to ask certain questions to team members to, quote, build out your library of knowledge. That library of knowledge, if also not like kind of looking around you, isn't happening, you don't know different things going on inside the organization, whether they're positive or negative. So I would actually like to close on my answer with the following. As an administrative individual, we are also creating an experience, sort of in that storytelling, the captivating questions, yeah, and the way that we're sharing who we are. And if I gave you an example, you know, Starbucks sells coffee, and actually so does McDonald's. And so why do we choose Starbucks? There's parts about just standing in that line and having that specialty order that makes you feel special. It is also like three times the price, yet we still go back. And so if we were to think about the power of personal branding, culture as an individual on a team, and supporting leaders, what kind of experience are we cultivating, activating, and what kind of experience are we, you know, creating one-on-one with those individual executives that we're supporting? All of that plays into culture.
That's a wonderful question to ask. I love that. As a company whose product is what it is, the receptionist for iPad, where we even have that job title there in the name, it begs the question, what role has technology played in the evolution of this role and folks in this role? You can't have a conversation these days about technology without including AI in the conversation. Yeah. What are you hearing from the folks that you work with, the administrative roles out there? What are they looking for? And how does that tie into this personal brand that you've discussed so far here today?
Yeah. So for the last 3 years, and I'm thinking about all the job descriptions I've made, I believe in the last 3 years, we've done like 60 searches. give or take.
Yeah.
And I have not once included, and I write very robust job descriptions. They're a job invitation. You know, they go 4 pages sometimes. It's not like 10 bullets and then apply. And so I say this, I have not added ChatGPT, and we'll just use that as a, because it's the most known. Right. I have not added that as a bullet of needing to know. And so that's sort of the hiring side of the tool. Talking to leaders, CEOs, they're still intimidated by it, at least those that I'm talking to, unless they're clearly a tech company, right?
Yeah.
I did a wonderful on-site training. I took EA University on-site to a tech company, and they're all using it. And so, great segue, they're using it as their individual thought partner, which is a term I cannot coin as I made it. A wonderful individual, Jessica McBride, she runs the Tech Savvy Assistant. I had her on my show. I created a ChatGPT guide to really help you have that thought partner. Sometimes that cursor is clicking, is blinking on a document. You're like, where do I start? And so really dialing into the ChatGPT, I also know that Copilot, which I don't know enough about, but Copilot is a new tool inside Microsoft Office. And so that's probably going to get a faster bullet because of the massive use of Office 365 right. in the corporate world. I think Google Suite's still kind of competing for first position. And so the Copilot for Microsoft, I think that's probably going to start to be a part of the next few years for me in my job descriptions. I know there's an appetite for it. I know that it had a bit of a peak in the sense of like airtime and everyone was talking about it a year and a half ago. And I wouldn't say that it's died. I use it every day as a thought partner because my brain can shut down with just so much decision fatigue and cognitive information overload with the different things that I'm doing. I would say, and it kind of goes to the center of influence and the future of this profession. There's been argument, especially on LinkedIn, of like, AI is going to replace us. I would love to see AI try to fix a broken plane that broke down that your executive needs to get to their next location for conference or something. And AI can't do that. So we're here. But I mean, your tool is amazing. Your tool has a perfect place, the receptionist for iPad, to, as we've talked about, you know, being sponsorship partners, you know, let what should be automated and let what should be human be handled by the humans. And that is so powerful, including the hospitality stuff I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so there's a wonderful grouping of businesses that need your tool. And they're even CPA offices. They could be law firms to untether, you know, quote, that human director of first impression to untether that individual to be able to run off to get coffee for Michael, who's the guest. And so the next person or UPS can come in and get taken care of. And so, yeah, I think that AI is here. I think that using it responsibly and as a thought partner is exciting. And then using your tool for those businesses that need to, you know, continue to let the human stay human in the business and let those things that need to be automated become automated.
Excellent.
By the way, you did not ask me to plug that, but I just, that was not pre-planned, but just being a wonderful partner of the receptionist, I wanted to make sure to highlight that.
No, I appreciate that. And yeah, excellent framing. I think that's a fantastic place to leave it, Helani. My last question that I ask of everyone, I'm curious to know your answer for this one, because I'm going to ask it in a little bit different way. Based on what we've talked about, and you're a team of one and no role is the same, and you talked about personal branding, our core values here in the Fabric stands for fun, authentic, bold, respectful, innovative, and collaborative. And I'm curious, what of those do you believe resonates most with the administrative role world? Is there any one that you can point out and say, if you're this, you can make other things fall in line? Any of those core values resonate?
I want all of them, but if I'm asked to pick one, I'm gonna go with the collaborative.
I had a feeling you might say that.
Might you have said that? And not for, you know, the sort of simple reason everyone get along and, you know, that's where magic happens. But I really think, especially because of the island that administrative individuals live on, if they can be collaborative in their listening abilities, collaborative in that questioning, collaborative in the relationship building, collaborative in creating these unique experiences that are unique to your brand. I think collaborative, which would clearly full circle make you fun and enjoyable and someone you want to spend time with, which is so important because we do spend so much time with coworkers at the office, remote and all of that stuff. My heart beats a little extra for the word collaborative for sure.
Beautiful, Helani. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. This has been a fantastic conversation, and we'll be sure to direct people to your website and the resources that you mentioned so people can check that out more. But thank you for the work that you do in supporting the folks in this profession. It is very, very valuable, and we appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Michael, for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for tuning in and watching this episode of The Fabric. If you want more content from our studio here in Denver, Colorado, please consider subscribing to our channel here on YouTube. That's youtube.com/thereceptionistapp to see more of our content coming out of this space that you see behind me, as well as more content from the remarkable guests and the rest of the team here at The Receptionist that we plan to highlight and show you much more of. Join us in the comments. We'd love to start interacting with you there. Please join us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
The Fabric is hosted by me, Michael Ashford, Director of Marketing here at The Receptionist, and it's produced by our creative manager, James Jordan. If you'd like to give The Receptionist for iPad Visitor Management System a try in your office, jump over to thereceptionist.com/freetrial and give us a test drive for 14 days with no credit card required. See what you think. And until next time, take care.